Now the qualities of the Dharma. So they say that when we know the qualities of the Buddha, then we'll get curious about how they attain those. And then we'll want to understand the qualities of the Dharma.
Yeah.
So when we talk about the Dharma here, we're talking about two things, the true path and the true cessation. Remember before I reviewed the Four Noble Truths, and those are the last two of the Four Noble Truths, and those are also what are considered the Dharma jewel that we take refuge in. So the true paths are consciousnesses. They're different levels of realization that start when one has what's called the path of seeing, when one has direct perception of emptiness. So all those different consciousnesses after that, that become antidotes for the different disturbing attitudes, that become antidotes for all the stains on the mind. Those are all the true paths, different consciousnesses. Okay? So the true paths directly counteract the ignorance, anger, and attachment. Okay? Because the true path is a wisdom consciousness. When you have a wisdom consciousness in your mind, yeah, there's not the space for the ignorant consciousness. Okay? So the ignorant consciousness gets counteracted, it gets worn away by the true paths, by those wisdom consciousnesses. And through doing that, one attains the true cessations, which are the stopping or the ending or the complete absence of the disturbing attitudes in such a way that they never reappear again. Okay? So right now, we may not be angry, but our anger can flare up at any moment. With a true cessation of different levels of anger, then the anger becomes unable to flare up because it's completely removed from the mind. Okay, it's like the mind's completely cleansed. You've taken the dirt off the mirror, it can't come back. So that the cessation is an absence of a different level of defilement. You know, there's different levels of cessation because there's different defilements, different degrees of them. So the true cessations are the absences that come about due to developing the true path, those consciousnesses in our mental continuum. Is that clear to understand that? Anybody stymied here? So those two things, true path and true cessation, are the Dharma jewel of refuge that we're getting here. And what we're doing by practicing the gradual path is we are building up all these realizations slowly, 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 until we can actually get to the true path where we have direct perception of emptiness. Okay, so right now, you know, unless there's some Aryas in this room, I don't know, there might be, you know, those beings who have direct perception of emptiness, unless you're that kind of person, the rest of us are just quite ordinary. We don't have path consciousnesses in our mental continuum right now. But as you practice the Lam Rim and you go through this very skillful arrangement of the different Dharma subjects, and you start to understand the path to enlightenment, you start to understand that what is the path to samsara, to cyclic existence. You start to understand all these different things about the Dharma, impermanence and refuge and karma and precious human life and all these things. As you do that, you're preparing yourself. You are in the process of cleansing the mind so that it eventually can gain a true path consciousness. You're in the process of building up a big accumulation of positive potential, because it takes a lot of merit or positive potential to gain these realizations. So all these other things that we're doing, you know, help us prepare for that realization of emptiness. And especially the altruistic intention, this bodhicitta, is very important in that way, because when we do things out of an altruistic intention, then whatever we do, you know, has so much more force, so much more potency. There's such a greater accumulation of positive potential on the mind, so it becomes easier to realize and do. Okay? So you see what we're trying to do. It's a gradual path. Yeah, it takes time. We're doing these stages down here, learning them, practicing, trying to understand. And then as we progress, we purify, we put more good energy, positive potential on our mind, we gain a deeper understanding of the teachings. At first we're understanding, you know, simpler teachings, like the precious human life and death and so on. We start understanding more difficult teachings, because we'll get into the Four Noble Truths, into the Bodhicitta teachings, and eventually we'll really understand emptiness as well, not only conceptually, but actually directly. And then it becomes our own internal experience. And through that, then we can start this process of attaining the true cessations. In other words, we can start this process of cleaning the mirror in such a way that the stains are gone forever. Gradual, folks. Slowly. Yeah. His Holiness also always emphasizes that the Dharma is something to be followed due to understanding, not through blind faith. Okay. That doesn't mean that people who have blind faith are bad. I think it's better that they have blind faith in the Dharma than that they have blind faith in the hockey team. Okay? You know, people have blind faith in many different things. So I think, you know, it isn't harmful to them because at least it's a positive object. But if you're really going to get anywhere on the path, then you need faith or conviction that comes from understanding. Yeah? And so the understanding comes from hearing teachings, thinking about them using logic and analysis, and then meditating on them. So we always have this three-step process to actualize the teachings of hearing or studying, learning, you know, and then thinking or contemplating, and then finally meditating. That goes in that order, you know. And in that way, the Dharma gets implanted in our mind. If we try and meditate but we haven't heard teachings, we're going to be making up our own meditation. If we try and meditate without having really thought about the subjects and understood them, then we're not going to habituate our mind with the correct conception. Okay? So you see, we hear or study or learn in some way, then we think about it, we discuss it with others, we use reason, we debate it, yeah, we ask questions or whatever, and then we go on to the meditation to really integrate it in our mind stream. So we can do all three of these in our daily practice, but to recognize if we go in order, we're going to have more success in our day, you know. We do all three in our practice, but we try and do them in order. And then the big quality of the Dharma is that it cuts off the ignorance and it cuts off the craving attachment. And at the time of death, it's the craving attachment that is the real enemy, because it's the attachment at death time that makes us grasp and cling with fear to this body, and then because we can't have this body, it makes us grasp for another body. So it's this grasping mind of attachment, first clinging to this body, then clinging to the next one, because it's obvious we're leaving this one. That craving mind, that mind of desire or attachment is, you know, one of the chief factors that keeps us taking rebirth over and over and over again. OK? Okay. And then, of course, once we've taken a rebirth out of attachment, we have all the different problems that come from that rebirth, like getting old and sick and dying and not getting what we want and getting what we don't want and all these things. Okay? So the clinging attachment, yeah, is one of the chief obstacles on the path. And so the function of the Dharma is to remove that attachment, okay, remove the ignorance, remove the anger, stop the cycle of uncontrolled rebirth. Yeah, done because our mind doesn't understand what's good for it. Okay. So that's the function of the Dharma, that's what it does. Yeah. And that's why if we practice it, the results will be that we have less attachment, less anger, less ignorance, and consequently we create less negative karma, we cling on to less things, we have fewer problems. And that's what it's all about, you know. I mean, the reason we're all here is because we're tired of having difficulties and problems, and because we're tired of others having them also. So the Dharma is the antidote, the remedy, the medicine to all of that.